You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is just 4 days until Santa comes down the chimney. That's the goal anyway. Thursday, December 21st is the date, and we're talking Twins baseball today with Rhett Bollinger, our Twins reporter for MLB.com. Rhett, we thank you as always for the time, and we're going to touch on pitching, and more pitching. We'll talk about the pursuit of Yu Darvish, talk about the signings of veterans Michael Pineda and Fernando Rodney, and at the end, we're going to tie this thing together with some fun stuff, some Christmas-themed questions, as, again, the Christmas holiday is just days away. But first thing is first, let's talk about the team's pursuit, as I said, of arguably the marquee free agent pitcher on the market this year, that being right-hander Yu Darvish. And I think it's still something of a long shot, maybe not as much of a long shot now as it was, say, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. But how can you, you know, how do you assess the progress, I guess, of the team's pursuit of getting Yu Darvish in that rotation?
The Twins are definitely very serious about Yu Darvish. It's definitely a priority for them. Having talked to, the front office at the winter meetings, talking to Thad Levine and talking to, you know, Derek Falvey and even Paul Molitor, they all kind of talked about how it's someone that they definitely is on the radar, someone they'd love to have on their team. Obviously, Thad knows him very well from his time in Texas, which I think maybe gives him a little bit of an edge there that Darvish knows him well. He was part of the negotiations when he originally signed coming over from Japan. As you said, it still might be a little bit of a long shot just because we know historically the Twins have never really, you know, paid for an ace like that before. We know the most they've ever spent, you know, in free agency was $55 million on Urban Santana. And luckily for them, that contract has worked out. It's pitched very well for them. But they'd like to get somebody who's at least Urban Santana's caliber, whether it's Darvish or, you know, maybe going after an Arrieta, which also might be a little bit more unlikely. But even, you know, Lance, we talked about in the past, but, you know, whether it's Lance Lynn or Alex Cobb, those might be, you know, guys would make some sense as well. But they're going to go in on Darvish. They're going to try their best to try to convince him that Minnesota would be a good place for him to pitch. He'd instantly become their ace. So far, Darvish has met with a lot of teams individually and privately. He hasn't done that with the Twins yet, but he's expected to, because I do think there's some interest mutually on both sides, but it's just hard to predict right now. You know, you really can't even say there's a clear leader for Darvish at all. We don't really know, what kind of market's out there for him. We know he's a top starting pitcher. I haven't really heard much from the Dodgers. You know, obviously that's the team he finished the season with, if he would re-sign there, but we know that, you know, that some other teams out there have had some interest, including the Cubs, but there's not really a clear favorite. So I think that kind of does work in the Twins' advantage. They could be part of this mix here. Like I said, historically, it would still be a surprise if they were to sign him, but it would definitely be a big addition for this team that needs pitching, especially going forward.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the Twins are not known for making these big, luxurious free agent splashes in the offseason, but hey, there's a first time for everything, and maybe Yu Darvish is the first time for this Twins franchise to really shell out some serious money and put a bona fide ace at the top of that rotation. No disrespect to Urban Santana, of course. But, Rhett, of course, a big X factor here is that because he was traded midseason from the Rangers to the Dodgers, there was no draft pick compensation attached to Yu Darvish. That's a big factor. So would you assess that? Is that the main reason that the Twins are pursuing him? Or even if there was draft pick compensation, would he still be front and center on their radar regardless of that?
I think it's just more of a bonus that he's not going to be tied to it. But I think even if he was, there would still be interest from the Twins, just because there's still, you know, a lot of interest in Lance Lynn and Alex Cobb, and they're both tied to draft pick compensation. But it's always curious to see, you know, sometimes the players that are tied to that, you kind of see their value go down a little bit. I think, you know, we've seen it now with Mike Moustakas. You know, he hasn't had much of a market as a third baseman, as a guy that was offered a qualifying offer. If anything, sometimes it can bring down a little bit of the value of the players because teams are, less and less willing to want to give up a draft pick because they know the value that associate with, you know, being able to have a high draft pick. If the Twins were to sign one of those guys, they would lose their second pick. So it'd be a second rounder. So it wouldn't be too bad. And the Twins have really been stocking up on prospects. Having the number one pick last year in the draft really helped them a lot to have extra picks for their bonus pool. And then they, you know, made a couple trades this offseason for some young prospects as well and signed a couple international free agents. So they're pretty well stocked in terms of prospects where they'd probably be okay even if Darvish was tied to it. But they'd rather not lose a draft pick. So I think if anything, it's just a bonus that Darvish being traded was not eligible to be offered that qualifying offer.
Yeah, I think it's no accident that there's more, you know, buzz this offseason about Yu Darvish than there is Jake Arrieta, because Arrieta, mm-hmm. of course, does have the draft pick compensation. He's every bit as accomplished as Yu Darvish. You could say even more so. Arrieta has a Cy Young in his pocket, but because there is no draft pick compensation attached to Yu Darvish. That's why you could designate him as the top free agent pitcher on the market this season. Rhett, shifting gears here, the Twins have made a couple of noteworthy signings to their rotation and their bullpen. Of course, talking about Michael Pineda and Fernando Rodney. And Rodney already, there's a neat photo on the Twins' Twitter account of him in his Twins uniform and shooting the bow and arrow, which he is known for. He's going to bring a lot of pizzazz and personality to that Twins team, no question. But the one that really intrigues me, Rhett, to start here is Michael Pineda, because he's had some, you know, he's obviously had the health issues. He's had some knucklehead moments. I recall the one at Fenway Park two seasons ago where he got caught with the pine tar on his forearm or forehead or something. It was yeah. It was visible in broad daylight, and the cameras caught it. He was ejected from the game. So he has those moments, but then he's got moments, too, where his stuff is so electric and his ceiling is so high. You keep thinking to yourself, if this guy can ever put it all together between the ears and health-wise, he could be one of the more dominant pitchers in baseball, and I'm betting that's what the Twins are banking on here.
Exactly. I think it was a low, you know, buy low situation here coming off Tommy John. You know, next year you might not even have him pitch for the Twins with his rehab. There's a chance he could come back, you know, in September as a starter or reliever, depending on how his rehab's going. You know, he had his Tommy John surgery last July, I believe. So it's more about, you know, the next year. Yeah, that's why the contract's also spread out that way. We're only getting paid $2 million the first year of the deal and then $8 million the next year. So either way, it's a bargain if he can, you know, stay healthy and come back strong from Tommy John. If he would have, you know, been healthy all year there with the Yankees going into free agency, he would have commanded a very large contract. So as he said, there's so much potential there. His slider really is one of the best pitches in the game. I mean, if you look at some of the StatCast stuff on it, the swings and misses he gets with it, the, you know, spin rate and all that stuff he talked about in the past, it's electric. I mean, he really has electric stuff. Like, sometimes it's tough for him to put it all together, but it did seem like the last couple years here, including this season before the Tommy John, that he was starting to kind of put it together, getting his strikeout rate back up above, you know, a batter per inning. So, yeah, I think it's just hoping that rehab goes well. He's got big velocity. The Twins want to keep adding depth to that rotation, and then if it were to work out, you know, always maybe a chance they could extend him if it were to work out. But if anything, it just was a smart way to kind of get a guy they really like to be slotted in that rotation after next year, because Ervin Santana is going into the last year of his contract. The Twins have some young prospects they like, but at the same time, that's why they're selling to Darvish and other guys. They want to sign these guys to long-term deals because they want to have these guys that could be potential, you know, frontline starters going forward. And then I think they think that Pineda can be that if he puts it together. So obviously some risk. You never know if guys come back from Tommy John, but pretty high success rate these days. And the money was so low compared to what he would have got if he was healthy that it made a lot of sense for them.
Yeah, it sure did. He's a nice safety net for the team, like you said, with the impending expiring contracts of Ervin Santana, most notably. And then talk about Fernando Rodney briefly. You know, this guy, he's been well-traveled, but every stop he makes, he seems to, you know, always have a productive season. He's either 40 or close to 40, but he's still getting it done at his advanced age, and I hate saying that, but it's true. So what, you know, was he a main target for the Twins, or did this kind of come together somewhat unexpectedly?
A little unexpectedly, but the Twins were definitely looking for a veteran closer that was going to be a guy that was probably going to be available on a 1 or 2 year deal that wasn't going to be breaking the bank. They probably were never going to go after a Wade Davis type. I always thought it made sense maybe to bring back Brandon Kinsler. He ended up signing for 2 years with the Nationals. There's still a chance the Twins could even bring back Matt Belisle, who indicated at the end of the season he'd like to be back. But Rodney's that kind of stopgap at closer. They've got some young arms and some potential closers on the roster they feel like going forward, like Trevor Hildenberger, Alan Bucinich, Gabriel Moya. They have some young arms they like, but no one on this roster is really ready to close yet. And like you said, Rodney, everywhere he's been, he's racked up the saves. You know, it can be a little bit of an adventure out there sometimes, but he's definitely a proven closer at this point, 40 years old, still has good stuff, still had a lot of strikeouts last year with Arizona. And he's just a fun guy to have in the clubhouse. I know some people, fans see him with a sideways hat or something. I think he's a distraction or a bad teammate or something, but it could be farther from the truth. I covered him a little bit in Anaheim when he was there and talked to other reporters about him that covered him in, you know, Detroit and everywhere else. They always say that he was one of the most loved guys in that clubhouse. The players all loved him. He was a jokester. He was funny. Obviously antics with the bow and arrows and all that stuff, but that's just the thing. He likes to have fun. I don't think he wants to show anybody up. I don't think he really has too many enemies in the game or anything like that. I think he's just like a guy that is fun loving and has, you know, racked up 300 career saves, which is a, you know, pretty impressive feat for a guy that didn't really close to later in his career. So It's one of those things. He'll start the year as the closer. If things go south, they've got some other internal options. But it just made sense, especially the deal, you know, only $4.5 million, you know, plus an option to the club option. So if he ends up having a good year, they could bring him back at the same rate. So another one of those things, kind of a buy low. I think that's why I think still going after Darvish. They have a lot of, you know, payroll. They can, or the payroll, I know they have a budget, so they can actually go out there and sign a top starter, because these moves so far in Pineda, you know, and Rodney were a little bit, you know, kind of low cost bargain signings in a sense.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, going back to what you were saying about a guy that likes to have fun and a good presence in the clubhouse, I mean, let's face it, you know, this game needs personalities like that. Yeah. And we need some, you know, guys that aren't all cookie cutter and guys that, you know, display a little bit of flair and emotion. And Fernando Rodney checks all those boxes. And I think he's going to be a big hit, both in the Twins clubhouse and with the fans at Target Field, no question. Rhett, let's wrap up here with some Christmas themed questions, beginning here. Which current player on the Twins roster do you feel would make the very best department store Santa Claus?
That's a good one. For me, I guess I'll go with the two of the bigger guys. Maybe I'll go with Miguel Sano or Kenny Vargas. And maybe Vargas more, because Vargas is definitely, actually, you know, both of them are pretty big jokesters, though. So, yeah, I think that they definitely have fun with the kids, and I think they'd fit well into the Santa Claus suit. Of course, I think number one, if he was still on the roster, that would be, you know, Bartolo Colon. I think he'd the best by far, so... but it is cool seeing that. I've seen even some former Twins, former Twin Rene Rivera, did a charity event where he dressed as Santa Claus in Puerto Rico and raised a lot of money for kids there in need. So that's always kind of cool to see. But yeah, I think for me, it just be the big guys. I think Bartolo, you never won if you were still on the Twins, but otherwise, I think it'd be fun to see Sano or Vargas in a big Santa suit like that, if they make them that big.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't go wrong with either one of those guys, no question. Question two, as we all know from A Christmas Story, all that Ralphie wanted more than anything in the world for Christmas was that precious Red Ryder BB gun. So for the Twins this offseason, what is their Red Ryder BB gun, so to speak?
I think it's got to be Yu Darvish, right? I mean, that's the guy they're targeting. That's their priority. That's the best pitcher on the market. I mean, we talked about earlier, he doesn't have drafted compensation tied to him. It would be a perfect fit for them. Like I said, just knowing, you know, that Thad Levine knows him so well, there's a little bit of a history there. It would make some sense. So, yeah, and like I said, it would be a big moment in Twins franchise history, just because it would blow past the largest free agent signing they've ever had by a lot. And it would kind of show that, you know, they're serious. They're serious about competing going forward. They're not just going to make a bunch of small signings and hope that things work out, that they actually want to go out there and sign a frontline guy. So I think that would definitely be the number one thing on the wish list for sure, Yu Darvish.
No question there. And Rhett, to wrap up here, question three. Sometimes a player and a team's fan base need to kind of kiss and make up after a rough 2017 season. So who on this Twins team needs to step under that theoretical mistletoe and start fresh for 2018?
I think the person that's probably be Phil Hughes. You know, Hughes tried to pitch through an injury last year. You know, he was coming off the thoracic outlet syndrome and had part of his rib removed. Tried to pitch. Just wasn't working and wasn't pitching well, went to the bullpen, and then ultimately ended up having you know, season-ending surgery and had more of the rib actually removed. So I think that now he's coming in spring training healthy. There's not a ton of expectations for him, but if he's fully healthy, you know, Hughes is a guy that throws strikes and can be a quality, at least back of the rotation starter for them. So it's hard to expect, you know, what he's going to do for them, but at the same time, if he can prove that he's healthy, it might be an unexpected boost and kind of a fresh start for Hughes. He's really dealt with the injury bug the last 2 years, but is still under contract with the team through 2019, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we've seen, when he's healthy, when things are going right, he is an absolute strike-throwing machine. If he can get back to that form in 2018, what a huge boost that would be for the Twins' rotation, which may or may not include Yu Darvish. Time will tell. Rhett Bollinger, great stuff as always. We thank you for the time, and a happy holiday to you and to all the Twins fans out there. We'll do it again in the new year of 2018. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Minnesota Twins.